following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter and Jim Langan here with you on a very busy Friday and a lot of interesting things happening over the weekend. Obviously, the Husker game not going the way anybody around here wanted to have. And UNK, for the first time in 15 years, going to be making a change at the head coaching position for the Lopers. We'll be hearing from Paul Plinsky, the athletic director at UNK, after the release of Daryl Morris as the head coach of the UNK football team. So we'll be hearing from Dr. Polinsky coming up here in a little bit. And obviously, we want to hear from you as well, Husker Nation, on what was a very bad night for the Husker football team on Saturday. It was a pretty good day for Jim Langan in terms of picking games, though. You had a nice weekend. I wish the Huskers would have played as well as you pick football games.
I don't know. I went 6-0 in the games. But, hey, if anybody's been following me, that's the first time I've done that. So if you were betting $10 parlays, you were down about $100 going into this week. But hey, if you hit if you hit this one, yeah, you got back $800.
So yeah, you've been way ahead on that deal.
Yeah, that's right.
First of all, your reaction to the Huskers the other day, because the first about quarter and couple of minutes, about the first 17 minutes of the football game, Nebraska looked very, very good, and then the wheels absolutely fell off in Madison.
Yeah, you know, I guess the only comment I would make on this, and you got to remember, I'm looking at this as I coached and things I learned on the sideline, and it doesn't mean that I was ever at the level, even close to the level, as a college football coach. But I do know when the wheels fall off, that the only thing I can put my finger on that I've noticed about Nebraska when the wheels fall off, our sideline demeanor is not really a happy environment. And it what I'm saying is that people are screaming. The head coaches are yelling at assistant coaches. You can see that. And hey, instead of going over to the sideline and going, "Hey, we got to fix this problem," let's keep ourselves. Wisconsin got behind 17-3. They weren't screaming at anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were trying to say, "Hey, you handle it. Here we go. Let's see what we can do." We fumbled the ball a couple times. We got a couple turnovers. We got to hang on to the ball. But what can we do to fix our problems? And, you know, it just didn't seem to me that we could ever fix stopping the run. I mean, don't get me wrong, maybe we were doing some things, but it didn't, you know, sooner or later, you got to put 9 people in the box and make them throw it. You know, and I just didn't think we'd make the adjustment. So when you're asking me, "Hey, what is the problem?" You know, because that's what it really gets down to right now, is we've seen this about 6 times where Nebraska has got completely blown out of football games in the last 7 years under the Pelini era. Osborne didn't have that happen to him very often. You know, Oklahoma maybe a couple times.
But
it just didn't really just completely go south that fast. We lost to Miami in the Orange Bowl sometimes 22-3, and we're never even in the game.
Right.
But 22-3, you know, means we only had 5 first downs or 6 first downs. We had to punt a lot, but our defense was hanging in there and hitting people. But boy, we just were. I mean, you average. Do you think about this? 20 yards a carry.
I was 16.3 yards. Gordon had 16.3 yards.
Didn't even play in the fourth quarter.
Imagine. And he was held in check in the first quarter. So the second, third quarters is where he made the vast majority, probably 350 of his 408 total yards.
Plus, this is a team that lost to Northwestern. This is a college football team that played Northwestern and lost to Northwestern. So what I'm saying is, hey, this is a good football team, but this isn't somebody that we shouldn't be able to match up with. And I think that's what's disappointing. It'll be very interesting to see with this press conference. But that's the only thing I can put my finger on here when you're asking me, hey, what's my feeling of it? I just don't think maybe, I think maybe we should change the demeanor on our sideline a little bit instead of screaming and yelling and going wild, because that seems not to be working. Hey, we got to find things, and let's get down and constructively try to fix the problem. What's going on here? Because, you know,
but that's not an uncommon. That isn't an uncommon thing. You see a lot of head football coaches. It's not a Bo Pelini thing. I mean, you take a look at coaches that are very, very successful. Their demeanor is very much the same way as what Pelini has.
Okay, here's my question I have for you, Randy, and this is a fair question. You tell me what coach in the nation looks worse than he does yelling at people.
Nobody looks worse. Well, first of all, they play it up. You know, and by the way, for a long time, I watched the Lions game a little bit yesterday. Ndamukong Suh was the dirtiest, meanest football player ever. And then suddenly, we're not paying attention to it anymore. Does it mean he never has anything? No. But for whatever reason, when Nebraska's ahead, you never see the head coach on TV. But when Nebraska's behind, after every play, there's a shot of Bo Pelini.
A lot of times, coaches will stop at halftime and give the media 20 seconds and say, hey, what are you going to fix on? And they try to stop and visit and say, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. Here's what we need to do. A lot of times you got to be a sprinter to keep up with him to go over the sideline. It's a 20-minute halftime. And
some coaches that won't talk at all.
Yeah, okay.
And there's, you know, I'm not trying to be an apologist for Bo Pelini. I'm just saying there's a lot of coaches out there that may be as bad or worse than Bo.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think he is at the top of the list when it comes to our sideline and screaming at assistant coaches, and yelling at referees, and if that's not true,
I think it's true. I do think it's true.
Okay,
don't think it's that uncommon.
Okay, but that might be right. That might be right. Boy, it just seems like I'd like to know how many unsportsmanlike conduct penalties the other coaches in the conference have combined compared to how many we get. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, and I, it's not like I'm anti this, but you asked me.
Right, yeah.
What do you think happened and how come this snowballed? And I think the reason things are snowballing and why it gets so bad so quick is somebody's got to get in charge and go, whoa, we're all right here. Yeah. Hey, let's hang on. Let's back off. Let's go through this way. We're okay. And I think another thing, too, I think there's a certain time where you got to go, hey, you know what? Our quarterback's not playing very well. It's time to make a change. Hey, you know what? I got a running back here that's got a bad knee. Hey, we got two more games. I don't know if he needs to be in there when it's 52-17. I mean, there's a certain time where you just got to go, hey, you know, I mean, hey, this is a long season. Yeah. Let's kind of do the right. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not anti this, and I'm just trying to say, hey, you asked, you know, hey, what are some of the things I noticed that maybe I would have never saw, and maybe that's why it snowballed, because there's some other guys that maybe weren't playing that would have gone into the game and maybe had a little different body language and, hey, let's see if we can stop these guys, you know, and because once the game was over, it's over. I mean, I like the idea, hey, we can't quit, let's never give up, but, you know, there's a certain time you got to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah, yeah. There does come a point there, and I would agree with that, and you just want to right the ship, and I think sometimes coaches, when they're getting their heads handed to them on a platter, I almost use a different phrase.
Yeah.
When they're getting their butts kicked, want to find some way to kind of put a salve on that and have something positive happen. So I think that's one reason why they kept Abdullah out there as long. I thought our defensive line was supposed to be a strength of this football team, and they got blown off the ball much of the game. Not the first quarter. Well, a little bit. I actually watched the game back after processing it and said, all right, what was different when we were up 17-3 versus, you know, when everything kind of avalanched from that point? You know what? Nebraska was giving up some pretty big holes even when they were ahead 17-3. They were able to kind of reach out there, knock the ball away from Gordon, cause a fumble, you know, have a couple of breaks kind of go their way with a bad punt. But really, you take a look at that defensive line. Defensive line got handled, and I thought that was supposed to be the strength of the team. They did not play well on Saturday.
I agree with you totally there. I totally agree with that. I thought, you know, and there's some adjustments you have to make during the game, and sometimes you just can't make them, because you just don't have the personnel to do that. But, boy, I just was surprised. And I know we tried a couple things. We tried a different stunt. We did some things like that. But I just didn't think we put enough guys in the box to try to stop that and make them throw the football.
Yeah, they needed to do something different, obviously, because you give up a school, not just a school record, but now a national record, FBS record, 408 yards to Melvin Gordon. And Gordon's good, but, boy, they kind of punched his ticket to go to New York and be one of the Heisman finalists now.
Well, this would have been a game where I would have thought going in, what is Wisconsin, what do they need to do to stop Nebraska? And I think it's pretty obvious they had one guy they had to stop, and yeah. when Nebraska should have been going, hey, what player? This wasn't a surprise about, hey, what do you have? We've seen him play. This wasn't like it was the first game of the year, and we had some running back we didn't know about. I mean, we should have known.
Yeah.
Hey, this is definitely their bread.
Yeah, they knew
butter.
The game
this
plan.
This is what we got to stop.
I don't think necessarily there was anything wrong with the game plan. They just didn't execute the game plan. By the way, just got from the Dent Popper inbox email coming in, says Brian. And Kelly from Notre Dame explodes all the time, but they never show him on TV, but his head is so purple. You know, so, I mean, there are other coaches that do it. But I will say this, in defense of everything that you're saying, once you develop a reputation, and Pelini has earned that reputation, once you develop that reputation, boy, you really got to go to the other end to get rid of that reputation. And right now, Pelini's reputation is he's going to explode on the sideline, and you see it. You notice it probably a lot more once you've seen it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a word find. Once you find the word, you always find the word. When we kind of see the Pelini reaction, we always see the Pelini reaction as a result.
Well, you know, NCAA football officials are going to be extremely tolerant when it comes to before they throw that flag. The last thing they want to do is throw a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, because they know what it's like. They know they're going to have to take some heat during this game. I mean, so when you get those, I mean, yeah. You've really stepped. And that was the point I was trying to make. It just that it seems like, you know, and if you act like that, I mean, then when things go south, that sometimes they have a tendency to really go south bad, because everybody's, you know, kind of acts that way instead of, hey, let's, you know, and I guess that's the one thing I wanted to see a little bit better was let's don't yell at each other so much. Hey, when things go bad, hey,
we're all in this together.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, we got enough people. We got a million people in Nebraska back home mad at us. Yeah. Hey, let's us 50 people stick together. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also from the Dent Popper inbox, another question here. Quick question. Will this make I-Corps ask Bo to either get some coaching changes with the OC and the offensive or defensive coordinator, or it's his job? I could see some changes there before Bo would be asked to step down. I think there might be some pressure put on by I-Corps and maybe even by Pelini himself to say, maybe we do need to examine some things, both offensively, defensively, our offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, if you look at this, LSU hired Bo Pelini. And the head football coach at LSU took Bo Pelini and said, hey, this guy coached at Nebraska, had a lot of success. He's well known, and he brought him in. Who's the offensive coordinator at Alabama? Do you know who the offensive coordinator at Alabama is?
I know the name. I can't come up with it. Who is it?
Lane Kiffin, coached at Tennessee, coached at USC.
That's right.
Well known guy. Brings him in, has a tremendous amount of experience. You know, I kind of feel like at Nebraska, Bo doesn't want that big time name. He wants some young people that he can control a little bit. And I think sometimes you got to bring in some people that are big time names that are your offensive defensive coordinator. You know, those are the people that need to be in charge. We don't even get to talk to these people hardly in the press ever.
No.
You know, but I can give you some other examples of some guys that have been around in the NFL and they're the offensive coordinator. They used to be a head coach someplace for years. They come over, they're the assistant coach, you know. And I think, you know, sometimes when you're at the University of Nebraska, there's a lot of money there. You can pick some guys that are well-known people. But you know what? You're not going to be in charge of them completely. They're going to run their own show. You hire this guy, he's going to go, hey, yeah, that's great, but you don't have as much leverage controlling him. And you know what? If he has a tremendous amount of success, he's going to move on and be a head coach someplace else, too.
Yeah, and that's the price to do a business if you hire have a good hire in there. I think maybe that'd be one of the things that Nebraska needs to look at. But I really thought offensive line did not play well, defensive line did not play well, and I love Amir Abdullah. But if he wants to be the kind of NFL player that we all want him to be, because he's a great kid, he needs to pick up a blitzing linebacker or a defensive end that's coming through. Right now, his blocking is not helping out Tommy Armstrong at all. It's easy to throw the quarterback under the bus, but I think a lot of the problems was play calling and the fact that Armstrong got hit a lot. You know, it just didn't really have the offense to the opportunity to be able to throw in rhythm and to take some of the pressure off the running game.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard for me to get mad at Amir Abdullah at all because you know he was playing half speed, and I think you know he just could. That leg, he just could not pass block.
And maybe,
with that.
And maybe your point about he shouldn't have been out there because of the injury. Maybe that's
not at 52-17. He should have never been out there.
There certainly was a point in there somewhere. Well, again, if you're Husker fans looking for some way to kind of make things better, I've got a pretty good suggestion for you. And that would be a trip out to the Chicken Coop. Don't forget that Thursday is the only day that the appetizer special is extended. Come on down for discounted apps. They've got great appetizers throughout the course of the day. You can pretty much get these anytime, but they got the nachos, the potato skins, the porky style potato skins, onion rings, buffalo chips. Yep, buffalo chips are very, very good. Southwest Munchers specials run through midnight, and a great opportunity at the Chicken Coop. They're home of the original Sports Bar and Grill. You get the best of both worlds. A lot of places say they're a sports bar, but no one combines the best of both worlds like the Kearney Chicken Coop. And see them on Monday. It doesn't have to be blue anymore with the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill from 11 to 4 today. They have steak sandwiches with your choice aside for only $7.49. A great steak sandwich for $7.49. Then from 2 to 5.30, you get special appetizers. Long necks, draws also on sale. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. We're going to take a quick break. Maybe we'll make a reservation for Chicken Coop. We'll be back after this.
Opening soon, NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of our newest rental store at 2608 32nd Street, Suite C. Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact us for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we top off at about 19 for a high. Winds out the northwest, meanwhile, stay gusting at 15 to 25. Now with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll fall to three above. I'm Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 18.
Hey,
And welcome back to the Midway Dealership Broadcast Booth for the Doug and Daddy Show. And the big finish going on right now for Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram down at Midway. It's Cadillac season's best event. See Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac for exceptional lease and purchase offers. Cadillac proud to extend special pricing to eligible military personnel on 2014 models, active duty reserves, vets within 1 year of discharge date, and retirees. That includes their spouses. So if you think you're eligible, go check it out down at Midway. The dealer has all the details at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. And for those of us who know who we are, well, Chevrolet and its dealers proudly is offering a special for educators as well through the 2nd of January. So you have until the 1st of the year and then January 2nd. Current employees of public or private schools, universities, or colleges are also eligible to participate in the new educator discount program and receive a discount on the purchase or lease of a 2015 or 14 Chevrolet vehicle. Check out their award-winning fuel-efficient lineup to find the perfect vehicle for you. An additional $1,500 educator discount off manufacturer's suggested retail price. Check them out. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge, Jeep Ram, and don't forget to find them at thinkmidway.com. Obviously, Saturday, a bad day for the Huskers getting walloped by Wisconsin. We've been talking about that quite a bit. The Lopers kind of had a mixed bag in the day. They had a big lead at halftime, leading at 42 to 14. They led by 28 and then had to hold on for a 42-40 win on Senior Day and what turns out to be the last game for head coach Daryl Morris. Shortly after that, over the weekend, and it was announced on Sunday, the Lopers decided that they were going to be heading in a new direction and have ended their coaching ties with coach Daryl Morris. Morris was the head football coach for 15 years, had over 100 wins, had earned 3 wins on his career, and spent 28 years at the university and have to go kind of a different direction. We had a chance to talk with Dr. Paul Plinsky. He had a news conference earlier this morning, met with the media, and he talked about among the things that they wanted to do, about 5 different tools that they wanted to give the new head coach: improved facilities, more money for scholarships, more money for assistant coaches, even a better salary. And I asked Coach I asked Athletic Director Dr. Plinsky whether or not it was difficult to release Daryl Morris, knowing that he was going to try to give more tools to the next coach. Did he consider the idea that maybe Daryl needed to have those tools first? And here is Dr. Polinsky's response.
You know, I contemplated that a lot, and quite frankly, I have with a number of our sport programs and where they stand in the MIAA standings. And so, you know, as I continue to look at it, thinking, okay, how can we continue to move ourselves forward in the programmatic ways that we need to, in the ways that are going to help us with the scholarship allocation and with the, you know, all the different things that we provide to our student athletes. But I just wasn't pleased with 3-8 for the 2 consecutive years that I was here. I saw improvement. I saw things happen, but I got impatient. And at the end of the day, it was affecting our student-athlete experience. And that was what I felt was hitting home with me the most. And so the student-athletes are, and what's in the best interest of the program is what I've continued to stay focused in on. Regardless of Paul Polinsky, regardless of Daryl Morris, regardless of anybody else, this is about our student athletes and helping the transition to the future.
And obviously 15 years as a head coach, Daryl Morris, so now the Lopers are going to be finding themselves a new coach. They are going to hire a consulting firm, Alden & Associates. Then already there are 16 names on a list of folks that Dr. Polinsky wants to contact and, for lack of a better word, recruit to at least apply for the job at UNK. And again, it will be a national search. Alden & Associates, the same firm that was hired by UNK to find their athletic director here recently, Dr. Polinsky. So they're going to use that. So we also asked Dr. Polinsky, what are some of the things he's going to be looking for in a new head coach?
Well, a number of things. First is that I want somebody that has a heart and mind for the student athletes. Somebody with high integrity, somebody who is a passionate recruiter, someone who can teach the X's and O's, somebody who can relate to people. I'm really looking for an individual that has credibility and has character, if it comes down to it. Having Nebraska ties would be preferred. Having a connection to the MIAA would be preferred. And understanding the scholarships and how they work is ideal. But for me, someone with credibility and somebody with character are the characteristics that I'm going to be looking for when I'm out there searching for a coach.
And Dr. Polinsky, throughout the news conference, really worked hard to be very complimentary at as many opportunities as he could to Coach Morris. Certainly thanked him several times for his years of service. He'd been with the program since 1986 and said that a lot of positive things about the program were instituted by Daryl Morris over the years. And we also had a chance to talk to a couple of team captains. Romero Cotton was there, running back for UNK. And Ty Kozel, we're going to hear from here in just a second. We asked him what his reaction was when he heard that Coach Morris was being released.
You know, it's kind of a day of mixed emotions. You know, we respect Coach Morris and, you know, Coach Bowder and Siegel. You know, they're all very likable guys. And, you know, they brought us here and, you know, they coached us up. And they played pretty big part, you know, in our college experience. But then it's also a day of excitement because, you know, you're looking forward to see what, you know, Dr. Polinsky can do and what the university can do in hiring a new coach and, you know, what path they can take us down, because I felt like we were very close on a lot of games this year to where, you know, we could have had a 7-4 record or something like that if we could just finish games. And, you know, hopefully with the new hiring of a coach that, you know, we can find a way to finish games and we can be a lot more successful next year.
So the search is on for a new head football coach at UNK. They were 3-8 this year. They were 3-8 a year ago, and they did hold on for dear life against against Emporia State on Saturday, 42-40. As now the Lopers are in the market for a new head football coach. And don't forget, coming up in just a few moments, you might be able to hear it a little bit in the background. We'll have the news conference from Coach Bellini coming up. But first, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back getting close to hearing from Coach Bellini. We come back after this.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 19th and 20th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, is bigger than ever this year, with an additional building full of exhibitors ready to help your ag business succeed. Enjoy free lunches and entertainment, and register for a chance to win a new Polaris Sportsman 400. Sponsored by Aurora Cooperative, Farm Credit Services of America, and Kearney Visitors Bureau. The 2014 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 19th and 20th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a free month of service. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with the nation's largest fixed wireless network, Prairie iNet Internet delivers. Call and get a free month of internet just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call now. Call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
United
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Welcome back to the Midway Broadcast Booth. Don't forget, coming up near the bottom of the hour, we're actually at the bottom of the hour. Haven't heard from Coach Pelini just yet, but we will be joining the weekly news conference in Lincoln of Coach Pelini. And boy, there'll be a lot of things to talk about there today. And one thing we certainly want to talk about is the T&L difference. New from T&L Irrigation Company and AgSense, the Precision Link enables web-based pivot control right there from your smartphone, right there from whatever mobile device you use, or your laptop or computer. The Precision Link works in combination with T&L's Precision Point Control to let you manage your pivot with computer or mobile device and a simple internet connection. Pivot start, stop, direction, application rate, speed, water pump control, all but just a few of the features that are available, including variable rate irrigation, can also be programmed in through the website. And obviously, they use that precious resource of water to its best, and also the energy that it takes. It's very efficient, and they'll get you all set up. That technology is right there for you, and it is proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. T&L, and check out their web-based pivot control. We did get an email in the Dempopper inbox just a little bit ago. Name one offensive lineman. This is John from Kearney. Name one offensive lineman that did his job on Saturday. So along with our defensive line not doing its job, the offensive line did not either. Really? Jay Cotton, Zach Stirrup, they were not good on Saturday, and neither was center Pelini. And again, both sides of the line, I would agree with John, both sides of the line did not have a good game on Saturday, and that's the effect of it. When you see that, you can draw X's and O's and talk offensive, defensive coordinators, but if you're getting manhandled up front, you're not going to have success on either end of the ball. And certainly, I think that was the case for Nebraska. And again, even early on, I thought that the offensive line wasn't controlling Wisconsin by any stretch of the imagination, even when they got their two touchdowns, because they were able to do it on short fields.
Yeah, offensive line is a different cat here, because you can have four guys actually do their job, mm-hmm. and then one guy breaks down, and that guy gets a sack then. And everybody in the crowd, they're not yelling at the one guy. They're going, "Cut, the offensive line's got to do better."
Right.
They're
yeah.
mad at the whole offensive line. So I can't particularly say that all five guys on the offensive line messed up. I do know one thing. The guy's right. Our offensive line got beat.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's defensive line beat our offensive line. But to distinctly say that each individual guy messed up, I cannot do that, because it's just not a fair thing, because the offensive line, like I've tried to explain, when they do break down, just like if somebody goes in and blocks the field goal, one guy or two guys went in there and maybe messed up. The other guys could have been doing their job.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
I'm
a recovering offensive lineman. So, I mean, it's one of those things, you never notice the offensive line when it's going well. But I will say, I mean, we had a nickname. I mean, the pipeline, you know, back in the mid-90s, where we had a lot of Nebraska players. We've had a fair number of guys who played high school football in Nebraska that became professional, quality NFL offensive linemen. But it's been a while since we've had that. We haven't been able to kind of have those homegrown offensive linemen that would really kind of help Nebraska's line look pretty good. Coach Pelini now from Lincoln in his weekly news conference.
We got back to work yesterday. We looked, took a good hard look at the film, talked about some things, and talked about what we have ahead of us. And got a workout in, and, got to move on from hopefully learn some things, get better, stay the course, and it's all you can do in a situation like this.
You
know, we got a lot of football out ahead of us. There's still a lot more out there for this football team, and we'll stay the course.
What was the
demeanor of your guys?
Well, obviously upset, and in some cases embarrassed, and it's, you know, mad, especially after you look at the film. You know, it's, you know, disappointing. I mean, that's, you know, you put as much into it as you do, players, coaches alike, and obviously you don't like a result like that.
There's a big difference between upset and embarrassed. Why embarrassed?
Well, when I say embarrassed, I mean some things, you know, technique-wise, execution-wise, that you – that guy, you know, you can't explain that, you know, if you ever played the game, you understand that, you know, you make mistakes, especially certain simple fundamental mistakes that hurt you. I mean, you try to figure out why it happened. And I'm sure there are some guys going through that. And you know, there's always that sense of embarrassment when you feel like you let down your teammates.
Well, you described the effort as the game went on as substandard, especially on defense. And what did the film say?
Not as much. It wasn't like effort where they weren't playing hard. I mean, the guys played hard. We didn't play smart. When you look at certain plays, like that, you hit for. You know, I told the guys. I said, going into the game, you have to have your focus each and every play. And you can't let down. When you're playing against a great back, he's going to hurt you if you're not in the right spot. I mean, a good example is I think the first touchdown, the one where Coop missed a tackle on the sideline, they'd run that play before early in the game. We tackled it for either a loss or no gain. And you get two guys who get away from what their, you know, what their responsibility is, lose their focus or in the right wrong spot, boom. You know, one guy's out of position and two, the second guy's out of position, doesn't do what he do. They don't recognize the set, what they're supposed to do, and boom, it hits you. And then we don't get the guy on the ground. You know, and I've been saying, you know, playing great doesn't mean doing anything out of the ordinary. It means executing play after play after play. And to a certain extent, on both sides of the football, that's hurt us all year. You know, that's why I keep saying every week, it's about becoming more consistent, more accountable, more where we don't lose our focus, where we don't find ourselves out of position on really a basic football play that hurts us.
Did your best defenses have the ability to sustain focus play after play like that?
Absolutely.
Or did they just have better individual talents that sort of overcame the mistake?
Well, you know, the thing that was disappointing about some of the plays was, yeah, you know, you have a guy miss his gap or do something out of the ordinary, and then you want to be able to get him on the ground. And at times we didn't. You know, we missed some tackles at the second level and such that hurt us. But some of the basic fundamental things imperative to and basic to how we play, we missed at times, which – really, certain plays that I never would have thought would have been an issue. You know, I mean, certain basic fundamental things that for whatever reason, we got outside of and made mistakes, and it hurt us.
When you have a team with a high talent level, can that talent level make up for not doing those basic fundamental things?
Sometimes. Well, you know, yeah, but yeah, I mean, you look, I mean, this isn't like... Are we going to be just over? I mean, the misconception is if you have a lot of talent, you can just go ahead and throw them out there and play. It doesn't work that way. You better be able to execute. You know, and for the large part, for you know, we've been getting better in that area. We've been getting better as the year went on. And like I said, there were some things and different guys taking their turns you know, as coaches, we just got to make sure we've got to, you know, you stay the course, you keep coaching them, and keep working to get better, you know. But on top of that, we didn't play our best football. But, you know, like I told our team, you know, the team that was up 17-3, that's our team. But so is the team that got beaten the last two and a half quarters. What we have to do is become that team that played early on consistently over four quarters. And that's not easy to do. It takes a certain level of mental toughness, focus, discipline to continue to do it play after play after play. And that's what we're working towards.
Hey, Josh, kind of saw the defense falling apart. A, they were afraid to make a really big mistake, or B, they were trying to make too great of a play, too super of a play. Did the defenders communicate that to you after the game that they kind of got out of whack? He said your mind's not right, you're not going to play good football. Did they communicate that to you, and did you see that on
football? Well, I think that's always the case in football. When guys, you know, I always say that you don't play a great game by trying to make the extraordinary play. It's doing your job and doing it play after play after play after play. And that's how a great game is accomplished, you know, individually and as a team. And when you get outside of it, like a good for instance is if you – and then when you have to go back to the fundamentals and the technique of which you're – how you're playing. And a good example is a guy who makes a mistake and thinks and is trying, you know, or ends up in a bad situation on a play and comes back and then lines up, you know, let's say it's a defensive end that gets reached on a play. And then he thinks, God, I can't let that happen again. And so he lines up out of position wider to take care of that play and it hurts him on a different play. Rather than trusting, having the focus to understand and stay within his technique and just play the technique on the first play better rather than try to compensate, because all you do when you try and fix something on your own, it's usually a bad result. And let me tell you, that happens sometimes. And it comes with sometimes with experience. It comes with trusting and just do what you're being coached to do. And there are no miraculous fixes. The miraculous fix is to stay with your fundamentals and the technique by which you're being coached. And because otherwise it can compound on you. And I think to a certain extent, when you find yourself in a situation where things aren't going well, sometimes that can happen. And as much as you talk to them and you coach them through it, you sometimes it has to happen to you, unfortunately, and individually. But I think that happened a number of times.
Offense struggles sometimes, but against you guys, they don't struggle. What is it specifically about what they do that gives you and your defenses so much trouble?
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, I didn't expect us to play the way we did the other day. I expected more of what we saw early on in the game. I thought we struggled a couple years ago because at that point in the season, we weren't very good. I thought we were better now. And I still think we're better than what we played, obviously. But at the point we got there in that Big 12 championship game, we weren't as good a defense at that time. And personnel-wise, we had a bunch of injuries and things like that. But you have to play good. What this team does is, you know, they play good fundamental defense where you got to fit right, you got to adjust right, and we didn't do that. We didn't play consistent enough, and that falls back. That comes back to me. That comes back to coaching first and foremost.
What's your evaluation about where Tommy Armstrong is at right now at this point in his career?
I don't think Tommy had his best game the other day, and. But he's, you know, and I think he's disappointed. But where he is where I think he's going to, he's still a good football player, a good competitor, and he'll be better as we move forward. I believe that. He'll continue to work. He made some mistakes. Obviously, I thought, you know, fundamentally he wasn't great in his footwork, and it hurt him at times. And also, in some cases, like I said before, we got to play better around them.
You're listening to Nebraska head coach Bo Pelini, his weekly news conference from Lincoln on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Him and guys like Riker and John, where is that at?
Where it was last week. Well, I mean, those other guys are capable, but I think Tommy's the guy that gives us the best chance to win right now.
Is there any condition to this late in the season that you would ever consider changes at that position? Hypothetically.
I'd always consider. If I thought it was the best thing for a football team, I would always consider that. I don't care what position it is. You know, you're always looking to try to make yourself better.
Tommy's at less than a 50% completion rate in the Big Ten. Is that... Is the job open during practice this week?
Job's always open.
Early on, 17-3, the energy and the rowdiness, everything was there on the sideline. Then around 17-10, it changed almost instantaneously. What happened that took the energy away from the entire team?
That's a good question. I thought it was more when it got to be 17-17. Then even then, I thought we were okay. It felt like it changed a little bit for our guys, a little bit when we had that fumble when we were going in. I think we were about the 40-yard line or so. We were in their plus territory, and then that's where it seemed to snowball. And I think from that point. I don't know. I can't remember exactly the drive charts, but I think when we started the third quarter, I think we went somewhere along the line. I think we went about four possessions almost in a row where we turned the football over. And obviously that's a recipe for disaster.
Well, you've talked about leadership a lot. You know, you've obviously faced these road blowouts and tried to put your finger on what it is. You've tried to address the leadership situation on the team. Where is that compared to where it was a year ago, 2 years ago? Do you feel more comfortable with it? And should it manifest more in a moment like that where things are kind of going against you?
Well, I think so, but I think it's got a – and I don't think it's a leadership issue. I mean, so to a certain extent, I don't know. You know, you sit there and you think about it and why it happened, and, you know, it felt like deja vu to me, you know, on some of the things I watched out there. I felt like we were almost in a worse situation at times during the Michigan State game. But our guys responded a certain way. But at some point, you got to make a play. And somewhere along the line, we got outside of – it was like we took turns. A guy here, a guy there, just not necessarily blowing assignments, but, I mean, to some extent, blowing assignments. Putting ourselves in bad situation after bad situation, and it just snowballed on us. And I've been there as a coach before. I've been there as a player where, you know, it in a situation like that, we were able to make plays in the Michigan State game to, you know, kind of keep it going, you know, kind of weather the storm and go. And we couldn't make a play. And it snowballed on us. And obviously very disappointing.
That happens again and again and again. Is that concerning? How concerning is that for you?
Well, you know, you're playing with different situations, different guys all the time, and you got to guard against it. I mean, it's not like it only happens to us. Look across the country, it happens, and I don't know exactly. But I think our guys, at times, I feel like I don't want to make an excuse, because I'm not making an excuse. At the end of the day, what happened, happened. But sometimes I feel like our guys are putting so much pressure on themselves to win that they're not going to play to win. They're playing not to lose. And that's a bad... That's a bad recipe. And I think these kids want to win in the worst way. And they want to have success. I try to think back as a coach, did you handle it the right way? Did you not put too much pressure on them? Whatever. Or did you try to not put pressure on them? Give them the best chance to go out there, have fun, and enjoy the game. I don't know if that was the case.
As a coach, how do you try to get those players to focus on?
Keep talking to them, and, you know, stay within the things they can control. And, you know, control what they can control. And that's what's on the field. You know, you win by doing it play after play. It's not going to happen in one play good, one play bad. And, you know, because otherwise it can get your mind out of, you know, make you do things that are out of character. I think at times that, you know, I saw that with our kids. And like I said, the worst thing would be saying, you know, they didn't care. That, I think, you know, that isn't the case.
Do they tighten up at times? They don't worry so much about making mistakes and they're just not playing football anymore?
I thought they did the other day. I thought at times they did.
You know, in that game, I mean, they weren't even the favorite, though. I mean, they were the underdog. I mean, why wouldn't Wisconsin feel that kind of pressure?
You tell me. I got my theories on it, but, you know, it's something we just got to continue to fight with our kids.
Have you thought of bringing on a team psychologist at all?
We have team psychologists. We have guys that work with our kids. Amir came out of the game pretty good. I mean, I think it was his. The knee's fine. He kind of banged his shoulder a little bit, but I think he'll be fine going forward for the Minnesota game.
Randy's
good. I think it scared him more than anything. It was one of those deals, almost like in a basketball game where your ankle turns over, but it's not as bad as you think. It was kind of more of a low ankle sprain, but. Even then, it wasn't as bad. He could, you know, he was good to go if we would have put him. We just decided to pull him at that point.
Can you go in these final 2 weeks still thinking the mirror is going to give you full loads, or do you have to have the other guys knowing that they're going to take a good amount of the carries as well in the next 2 weeks?
I think Amir is just going to keep getting healthier and feeling better for the next 2 weeks. But you always have to have other guys ready to go.
Well, were you aware of where Gordon was statistically the other night?
No, but I saw enough long runs that I knew he was doing good. I mean, you know.
At what point did you see 408?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
During the game or after?
I think it was after. I don't know. I wasn't really aware of it during the game.
Hey, Bo, you're a pretty intense guy, competitive guy, and you mentioned that you don't think you guys are trying too hard to play and not to lose. Do you think that they're at all feeding off of you and kind of, are they channeling your vibe or something?
Well, I mean, my vibe, I was pretty laid back. I was as laid back as, I'm very consistent with our kids. I don't get real too high or too low, believe it or not. I know you guys look at me sometimes and think that's impossible, but I don't get real, I'm very consistent and how I look at it and how I approach it, and always have. I'm very businesslike and to the point during the week and as far as, and you know, joking at times. But when you watch the film, I mean, I'm very detail-oriented and almost a perfectionist as far as how I want those guys to approach their trade, because I always believe to keep your mind on that, getting better, keep their mind on what they can control, and that's what they're putting on film day to day. But I've also said this, that some of the consistency things and some of the focus things that were an issue the other day have been an issue for this football team. I believe we, you know, to do it week in, week out, you got to be extremely focused, mentally tough, and be able to do it play after play. And am I surprised that we gave up, played the way we played? Yes. I think we're a better football team than that. But some of the things that that hurt us were magnified, but I see some of those things during the week, and we preach it. You know, it doesn't, and I said to defensive guys yesterday, I said, it doesn't matter whether you're playing Wisconsin. I've seen the scout team make some runs like that. And you know, so is it a total surprise? No. But the amount of them and some of the types of mistakes we made, yes, that was obviously very disappointing. But if you're not focused, you're not approaching, you're not executing, doesn't matter who you're playing or where you're playing, you're going to look bad. And it doesn't take, you know, it's, you know, you can sit there and say, I don't know what people are saying, but saying, hey, you just got mauled. But, you know, one or two guys makes a mistake against a good football team and a good back, and it's going to make all 11 look really bad. Same thing offensively. You could have everybody blocked. And we had some chances, even as the game went on, for some breakout runs. But when you have one guy here or there who turns somebody loose or that you don't execute, you have a wrong assignment, it makes it look like across the board you're getting getting your tail kicked, and it's not necessarily the case.
With some of the ways things have played out and repeated themselves over the years in the high-stakes games, especially on the road, I mean, do you at all feel that there's a chance you may have hit a ceiling here?
No. You mean me personally or our program or what?
As far as we can take this program.
No. Because I've been around coaching and football long enough to know that you stay the course. You know, it's just like any given play. You have to keep working. You just got to keep fighting and keep working and do everything you can to play in, you know, every single play, every single series, every single game, and keep working to try to get better. And that's the case. Every season, every game is different. I mean, let me tell you, what happened 3 years ago or 4 years ago had nothing to do with what happened on Saturday. Different kids, different time, different place, different teams.
There's a cumulative effect of that. But what big picture, what do you think the perception of the rest of football
is? Better than it is locally. Because I think nationally, you know, other people see things that, you know, they're – this isn't, you know, a game like this or losing a football game isn't just exclusive to Nebraska.
You mentioned after the game that you really don't look at the big picture. I don't know if that was just worded out. Maybe you're the CEO of a $50 million enterprise.
What do you mean as far as what's concerned?
You were asking after the game about looking at the big picture. You said you don't concern yourself with that. You're game to game. You're the CEO of a $50 million enterprise. You manage over 200 people here. I mean, if you're not looking at the big picture, I guess, who is?
I don't know what you're following.
The entire concept of the program where, you know, you've had these multiple games we've talked about, these high-stakes games where you've lost on
edge. Yeah, every game we is high stakes. Sure. We've won a lot of football games here since I've been here, so... A lot of football games that a lot of programs across the country would die to have won the amount of football games we've won.
What do you feel like is your biggest win, your biggest achievement?
Since I've been the head football coach, well, we've been very consistent. I'm not looking here to defend. Our program or where we are right now. What we came here to do was win a national conference championship and win a national championship, and we're going to fight tooth and nail to keep trying to get that done. But I'm not going to sit here and apologize for the job. The time I'll start apologizing was I stopped working. And I believe that the program's on a good track. It's on the right track, and we have two more games left in the season, and who knows, maybe three, but two for sure, and then hopefully a good bowl game if we can finish this out right. The thing that we can control right now is the next week, and we got a really good opponent coming in here, and that's where my focus is right now.
Your explanations for why these losses occur. The explanations sound a lot alike from one year to the next, and I understand that, as a football coach, that games kind of look the same sometimes, do you step back at some point and try to identify the commonalities between these losses, because they are different players, they are different seasons, but they unfold so similarly.
I agree. And I've spent a lot of hours trying to figure out why all of a sudden we in a situation we would jump off sides, or why we would all of a sudden put the ball on the ground four series in a row. It's hard to identify.
What have you done? I'm not saying that you found the silver bullet, but what have you changed over the years to try to
keep stressing the things that if it happened week after week after week, it'd be a lot easier to identify.
With Tommy, it feels like his mechanics sort of go away throughout the duration of the game. Has Tim thought about coming down the sideline to sit with him between drives to keep him focused on the things that he's been tweaking?
Well, he has Joe Gans down there who does a heck of a job of communicating with him. And, unfortunately, I think he got into a game where he was, a couple times, there was one time, a guy started on a route, thought he was going deep, and then he shut it down, and so it got Tommy off balance, and some things I think were in his control, some things, he read it wrong, but he's growing, and he's got to, at the end of the day, he's just got to play better. We had some guys that were open that we missed, and we had some opportunities, but he's just got to keep working to keep getting better, get more efficient.
You talk about his footwork being off at times, the mechanics going down, and in the beginning of the direction was pretty good, and then it got worse as the game went on.
No, not really. We missed some throws early on that he made a nice throw on Kenny's touchdown, there were a couple throws even early on where he wasn't quite right on.
Well, then at this point in the season, we're 10 games in.
At what point do they fix the mechanics?
Well, you got to do it. Like I said, you got to do it. I think he's made some improvement. He got into the game and he got outside of him. So I don't know whether he was feeling the rush or his adrenaline took over, and you got to stay focused on the details, stay calm, and play within yourself.
Do you ever consider hiring a paid quarterback coach?
We have a paid quarterback coach.
Somewhere in Minnesota, Wisconsin, essentially Wisconsin, not known for. How similar is that to Wisconsin?
They do a lot of similar things. I mean, you see some things that are similar, some that are different. But I would say that there's a lot of similarities, and they got a good back in their own right. Cobb's a really good player.
In some ways, is it the exact same exam you had last week? You get it again this week. Same kind of test for the players.
Defensively?
Yeah.
It's going to be very similar. It's like that every week. These guys are going to be in some of the same personnel grouping sets, plays, that type of thing.
It's senior day Saturday. Can you talk about this group of guys, Amir, Kenny, and this group as a whole, what they've meant to you in their time?
It's a small group. It's, when you count, it's really 13 seniors, and then Tyler Evans, who got medical, and he's going to be heading off to medical school. But it's been a good group. A lot of good stories in that group, and kids that have meant a lot to this program, meant a lot to me.
Still for Jamal to come back?
Yeah, Jamal will be back.
Next year.
Yeah.
So he's not going for
senior day? No. He's Jamal will be back.
But the pressure that you talk about, of the kids feeling a lot of pressure in situations like Saturday, like last Saturday, with what you have coming up this Saturday, senior day, coming off of that, what can you do in a short time to try to make that not be an issue for them again?
Well, I think there's all, pressure is perceived. And, I don't know, talk to them about it, get them in the right, hopefully in the right frame of mind so they can go out there and have fun and have fun playing this game.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly news conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Step back and wonder if you should adjust your scheme.
Have I thought about that? Yeah, I've thought about it. But is that the right answer? No, it's not a scheme thing.
Anything else for Coach?
You know, the scheme is where, you know, that it's changes week to week, and it works. It doesn't matter what the scheme is. At the same time, you know, you got to execute it. And if I went into a game or I came out of a game and said what we did was unsound, then I'd be, you know, I would sit there and say, you know what, if it doesn't work, or if it doesn't, you know, structurally it doesn't work, then yeah, I better take a look in the mirror and figure out something else. But we need to coach it better. That's what we need to do. And, you know, and execute it better.
Would anybody wear a black shirt this week?
I haven't even gave that a thought, Lee, but my guess is I won't. I'm not going to change anything.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
And there it is, Bo Pelini's weekly news conference after Nebraska's 59-24 loss against Wisconsin. It took over a half hour before we heard the word Minnesota, which would be Nebraska's next opponent at 11 o'clock on Saturday. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have some reaction. We'll talk a little bit more Husker football and talk a little high school football playoffs as well. We'll come back after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to support the Kearney Catholic High School Foundation through the Gold Dinner and Auction. The annual event is this Friday. We hope to see you there.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
And welcome welcome back here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's been a full day. We had pretty good coverage, I thought, of the UNK decision in terms of going a new direction with their head football coach. And certainly want to thank the staff over at UNK for having the news conference and answering the questions and all that. And, of course, Bo Pelini had an answer a lot of questions. Spent over a half hour talking about the Wisconsin game before anybody even brought up a question about Minnesota, which is, you know, still a pretty big football game for this program coming up next week.
Yeah, a huge game. Absolutely a huge football game. You know, Nebraska beats Minnesota and Iowa, and they go 10-2. And what a great year. And, you know, and if they lose them both, they're 8-4, and it's probably considered in fact, this team probably didn't do as well as they would expect.
Well, the
to
worm
do,
will yeah. really have turned. I think there would be some more pressure on Pelini. Maybe not as much as there was last year, but you know what? If they lose the next two games, there will be a tremendous amount of pressure on Nebraska at that point. Now, there's a few ifs there. I still think they're better than Minnesota. I still think they're better than Iowa, you know, because Iowa, I thought, was going to be better coming in. I'm not impressed with them at all, you know. So if they win out, but, boy, if they go 0-2, if they lose the last three games, things would be interesting in Lincoln.
Yeah, that could have happened when you looked at your schedule. I mean, I thought maybe, you know, the Northwestern game was a big win this year. If you look back at Northwestern beat Wisconsin, Northwestern beat Notre Dame, beat Northwestern, and that's a good win. Miami of Florida has played decent this year.
They look good Saturday.
You know, and last year we beat Georgia in a bowl game. I think that was a big win. Anybody times you can beat a South – look, check and see how many Southeastern Conference teams got beat last year in the bowl game, people. I mean, that didn't happen very often, you know, and especially Big Ten teams beating them. You know, so, I mean, there's been some nice wins. I thought he handled the press conference really well. Got a little ugly at the end. People really wanted to press him a little bit. I thought some of the questions
– put him in a spot where he kind of felt like he had to defend himself
a little.
And I don't think no one likes being in that spot.
No one wants to do that. Hey, how come you did this? Why didn't you do this? And, you know, what win have you got that's really significant? That's kind of a rude question, I thought, to ask a guy. I really did. I thought it was a rude question to ask a guy. I thought it was a fair question at a different time. But this is a press conference where he already got beat. You know, he already feels bad.
Yeah, but that is when the question's going to come, though.
Yeah.
It's not going to come when he's won 17 in a row and playing for his second national title. I mean, that question doesn't come up then.
I agree, but, you know, I guess, you know, being a high school principal and having to defend teachers a lot, and not a lot, but at times
enough,
when I do, they always do it when they get their right. They never come in right after great moments and go, hey, I'm still upset with this guy, or I'm still upset with her. They always do it at the time when something bad happened. They went, now, hey, what are you going to do? I want something done here. I want answers right now. And I just didn't think it was didn't think it was right. The way he was handling it and trying to move on and say, hey, we got two important games, and I'm trying to be positive, and, hey, there were some mistakes made. And I thought he didn't deserve it. Now, if he would have been challenging and pointing fingers at other people, then maybe he deserved the question. Yeah, I just didn't think he deserved it.
It's going to be tough. And by the way, I want to remind you, our Husker Lunch coming up on Wednesday. Doug and Daddy Show will be there at 11 o'clock Wednesday at Cunningham's. And then Sean Callahan will be coming in. And again, things will be kind of interesting. And if you haven't already come into our Husker Lunch, you need to do so this Wednesday, because they are going to draw for a couple of tickets for the Minnesota game. You will not need to be present to win those. And if you've signed out at any of our Husker Lunches, you'll be eligible to win those Minnesota tickets, which will be given away by Cunningham's Journal on about 1 o'clock on Wednesday. So don't forget that the high school football tonight, or actually this afternoon, on our sister station on Classic Hits 98.9. Elm Creek is all the way out in Hemingford, and the pregame will start around 2:30. Kickoff will be 3 o'clock. That is why Doug was not here today. He is currently moving his way into the Mountain Time Zone for that state semifinal. And don't forget that right here on ESPN, we'll have all six state championship games for you starting a week from today. Next Monday, the 8-man games plus the Class A game, which has become somewhat more interesting in one respect, because Creighton Prep they fired their football coach after their win to get him into the state semifinals because of some issues issues that within his own personal life, unrelated to his duties as a teacher and coach. And then, of course, we'll have the Class A game and then all the C games as well as Class B on a week from tomorrow, on a week from Tuesday. And again, we were kind of talking off camera a little bit about a tough game for Kearney Catholic and over the weekend. And just statistically, I'll tell you what, you tell me that Kearney Catholic holds White Missouri to about 83 yards rushing, I'd say Kearney Catholic's in that football game. And statistically, they certainly were, but about 3-4 plays went against them and ended up being a lopsided score.
Yeah, you know, and Kearney Catholic had a couple of injuries they had this year. You know,
it'd been
nice to play them full strength. Everybody wants to play full strength. I think a lot of teams have some injuries during this time, but not everybody. But hey, a nice year and had two good 1-point wins. So it made that season. Yeah, made it a lot of fun. And hey, hats off to the Kearney Catholic girls. Correct?
Yeah. They took care of business on Saturday. Boy, they looked good on Saturday. And, they looked good the entire tournament. And I thought a couple of things were really, really neat on Friday. One, Paige Herbert with the hurt knee was able to come in to the state tournament game. Coach was able to put her in for just a little bit, so she got back out onto the field. And then Nathan Howe being able to run for a little bit over about 14 yards, got him over the 1,000-yard mark for his senior year after being stuck at 990 after he broke his leg and was able to come back a month later and get the next 10 yards to make it 1,000 yards. I thought that was really kind of a cool moment in what was not the game that you wanted to have.
Right, and in our area too, Giltner was a state champion
and
in volleyball.
And Giltner's state champion in volleyball as well. So hats off to them. And Doug had those calls. And again, we'll have the 6 football championships coming up for you next week. And don't forget that, of course, we have semifinal action in 8-man as Elm Creek is out in Hemingford. And we'll have that game at 2:30 and then kickoff at 3 o'clock on Classic Hits 98.9.
I like Elm Creek. I think they're going to win the game.
There you go. You heard it here first. And the guy is hot in terms of picking football. The guy was 6-0 last week on the Money Games. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll have more of the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk a little bit more about where UNK and how Nebraska football is going. And we'll have a little recap of that game out in Hemingford as well. For Jim Lang and I'm Randy Bushgarter, thanks for joining us. We'll be back with the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow at 11 right here on ESPN Radio.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.